This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE-FM. I am Chris Policano. DC 37 represents 125,000 city workers, 25,000 private sector workers, and nearly 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available as a podcast. Simply go to the podcast app on your smartphone or tablet and search for DC 37 State of the Union. There are now more ways to stay in touch with us. You can check out our website, www.dc37.net. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you have any comments about our show, or if you would like us to help you promote a community event, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. That's stateoftheunion, one word, at dc37.net. Happy New Year, everyone. Best wishes for a prosperous and safe New Year for all. We've got a good show this evening. Joining us first up is the newly elected secretary of DC 37. He is the president of the Queens Library Guild Local 1321, been on this show a number of times before. John Hislop, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Chris.
Congratulations on your election.
Thank you.
Whenever there is a new officer at DC 37, the first question one has to ask is, "Who are you?" and sure. how did you get here? And where are we going? You've been president of Local 1321 for a while now.
I've been president of Local 1321 since 2010, but I've been involved with the union, our local, since 1997. I became a librarian, an archivist in 1996, December 96, and went to my first meeting January 1997.
And it just flew by. I mean, 21 years just flew
it's
by.
It's pretty crazy. The older you go, the faster the time goes. It's amazing.
So when you got the job, you immediately decided to pursue what was happening with the union?
So I got my BA in history and focused on labor history, and my goal was to work in the labor archives. So when I went to master's libraries, I went to get my master's degree at the University of Texas at Austin. And
the only place in Texas I would be, by the way, is Austin.
That's probably true. Though I do like Houston a lot, and San Antonio's kind of cool.
So. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, well, I've never been to Houston. Okay.
But Queens was the only place I got a job at. And I worked in their local history room documenting Brooklyn, Queens, Nassau, and Suffolk. I was happy to learn that we had a union. So I went to my first union meeting. I became a DC 37 delegate a year later, then the librarian rep. And then I was the executive vice president for 8 years, served under two presidents.
And how, when you first got there, do you remember what the issues were at the time, and have they really changed that much, or is it just an ongoing effort to protect the rights of workers in the workplace?
At the library, when I first started, there was a lot of discontent with the administration. The administration did not pay attention to us at all. There was a lot of conflict.
Okay.
Unnecessary conflict over silly things. We didn't have a working conditions contract. We tried to negotiate one, and they were just immature. They were very unprofessional in how they dealt with the union. They thought of us as, I don't know, a stepchild.
All right.
And the members, and they treated the members pretty poorly. We had some issues in 2015 and removed the director, and the library hired Dennis Walcott. And Dennis Walcott has ushered in a culture of collaboration, where we work together to resolve a lot of issues, and a lot of good things have happened at the library.
Well, I you know that I know. I think Dennis Walcott's a good guy, and mm-hmm. I think that his door is usually open. And I would have been surprised if you had told me when he first came in 6 months later, for example, that it had gone any other way.
Right.
So, well, that's good. But the issues of the library, and I know that you have been a strong advocate, and you've always been out there at the steps of City Hall and other places fighting for the libraries. And has there been growing support for the libraries over those 21 years that you've been involved with? Or does that support go in and out, up and down?
There's been very good support for the library recently. We still need a lot more. The libraries are very short-staffed, and we do need more money from the city council. The city. in 2010, 11, 12, the local created a budget action committee where we created rallies throughout the library system to bring attention to the systems. We actually had to drag along that prior administration to these rallies, and it brought some very good attention to the libraries, and the city council members in Queens greatly appreciate their public libraries, and they came out to support us. And now we have some good advocates on the council and the mayor's office, but we still need more money. So, and the issue of money has sort of been resolved, but we are expanding and providing a lot more services that we need more staff.
We're talking with John Hislop. He's the newly elected secretary of DC 37. He is also the president of Queens Library Guild Local 1321. We're talking about the libraries. We're also talking about we're now going to talk about the fact that libraries, the role of libraries have changed in communities. And you've spoken about that before on this show. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of the things that people may not ordinarily think of libraries as doing that libraries are doing.
The libraries are doing a lot of things. I mean, it's incredible what we are offering. We're still the only free public space in most neighborhoods in New York City.
Right.
Anybody can come in. Anybody can use our services, the computers, the wireless internet, all the programs that we offer, all the books that we still provide. The newspapers are still there. The magazines, they're all still there for us. For anyone. The programs that we provide, the story time for the children during the day, all the adult education classes that we provide, the adult learning classes that we provide. I think that we have 8 locations in Queens where we provide English as a second language, literacy classes for adults who don't know how to read English or write English. And they do amazing work over there.
I was at the Flushing Library one day about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. I was amazed by the amount of traffic at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
That place is chaotic from 10 to 9. It's amazing how busy that place is.
Really is a bustling, I mean, it's a bustling center of activity. I'm not sure what all those activities were, but they sure were happening.
And people really enjoy that Flushing Library.
So let's talk about the role of secretary. As an officer of DC 37, what are you thinking about, and what are you thinking of the new role that you're in as it pertains to the future of the union and city workers and the quality of life in New York?
Yeah, as the president of the local, I was focusing on parochial issues with the Queens Library. But as an officer of DC 37, that has to change. Now I'm concerned about, especially as secretary, as documenting accurately what happens at our meetings, you know, the executive board meeting, the delegates meetings, and any special meetings that come up. My role is to make sure that everyone who has access to those minutes gets an accurate reporting of what we do, because that is the final documentation of our institution. And everybody's represented, from the social workers to the doctors, to the Parks Department workers, to librarians, to everybody who is represented by DC 37. And that's my role. I mean, my role is to represent everybody.
Okay. And within that role, what do you see some of the challenges in the new year for DC 37 or, for the city? And DC 37 gets involved in the life of the city. I'm just wondering if you're thinking anything particular about what's going on these days. Short, and we don't have to talk about Iran. I'm talking about within the five boroughs.
Well, the state budget crisis, the $5 billion.
That's going to be big.
Medicare gap is going to affect our H&H members. That's a big issue. The bail reform is going to affect the 371 members.
Right.
And the change in the jails. The city's budget's going to be affected by the state budget, so that's going to affect libraries and librarians. We're going to have to fight harder for the money. And bringing in 1707 is a big challenge for DC 37. The merger of DC 1707 and the private sector unions, which we're not used to, because we're public sector.
Right.
Requires a lot of cultural change, but I think it's good. I think it makes us stronger.
Absolutely.
Because we are now we have more power and a bigger union.
And now 150,000 members.
Exactly.
Before I let you go, is there anything I should have asked you about either you, the libraries, DC 37, the Knicks?
Oh, the Knicks suck.
Well done. Okay.
We need new ownership of the Knicks. That's what we need. That's our biggest problem. You've covered most things.
Good. Okay. John Hislop, it's a pleasure, as always, to have you in the studio. And good luck to all of us in 2020.
Exactly. Thank you, Chris.
We'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. A couple of announcements. The Education Fund of DC 37 will be holding three-day financial empowerment workshops on Thursdays, beginning January 16th, January 23rd, and January 30th. For details, visit www.dc37edfund.org. And also, members, you can join us at the Women's Unity Rally in Defense of Women's and Immigrants' Rights on Saturday, January 18th at 10 a.m. at Foley Square in Lower Manhattan. For details, you should call 212-815-1502. That's 212-815-1502. Our next guest is a staff attorney at the DC 37 Municipal Employees Legal Services, Elizabeth Perez. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
We're talking about Governor Cuomo's recent proposal to create an Excelsior banking network. Now, I'm not exactly sure very much about this, so I'm going to throw a bunch of questions over to you. This is overall about improving banking services in lower income communities. Is that the gist of this?
Yeah, that's correct. It's mostly to fund and create these banking institutions that operate in areas that a lot of our DC 37 members live in that are typically underserved by mainstream banks and have fallen victim to fringe financial services like check cashers.
And this is a long time. This problem has been around for a long time. This is a significant step forward in helping to give folks in certain communities services that they have lacked for a while?
Absolutely. I mean, redlining has been around forever, basically. And this problem hasn't really gone away. The fund that is actually being
created?
It's a fund that already existed. The fund was created in 2007. Unfortunately, that was right before the financial crisis. So there wasn't really money to be allocated to it. And now the governor is planning to allocate $25 million over 5 years to this fund. And that's in his executive budget.
So what can we expect to see, or what would you hope we would see as a result of this in 5 years?
So it might be helpful to talk about what CDFIs are.
Sure.
Because those are what are being funded through this fund.
Okay.
So CDFI stands for a Community Development Financial Institution, and generally speaking, the ones that are going to help our members most are community development credit unions. So those are basically like a credit union, like a bank, but instead of being profit-driven, like a lot of mainstream banks, they're mission-driven. And so their goal is to keep the money in the community rather than, you know, loaning it outside the community.
And this is for both business and personal reasons of uses, meaning that small business folks could take advantage of this as well as residents who need banking services?
Absolutely. So a lot of these community development credit unions already exist. There's like at least like five that I know of in the area. Lower East Side People's Federal Credit Union is a great one. There's also one in Brooklyn, Brooklyn Cooperative. I'm forgetting a few more, but there's some really great ones in the area. And actually, Brooklyn Cooperative is the largest lender to minority and women-owned businesses in New York City. It's not a mainstream bank.
How has the Municipal Employees Legal Services been involved in this issue? I know that we've been advocating for this, but talk a little bit more about what we've been doing.
So DC 37 is a founding member of a coalition that has been integral in introducing this funding to the governor. That coalition is called the New York State Community Equity Agenda, and it's really a proactive agenda. It's, you know, a lot of DC 37's energy has been spent on preventing payday lending entering the state and other wealth extraction devices. And this agenda looks at how we can fill the gaps that our members are experiencing in financial services that are, you know, that are why they fall victim to check cashing and all these things. And so we've been going to, I personally have been attending meetings with the governor's office and upstate in Albany. And then the upstate DC 37 office has been integral in this as well. Sybil and her team.
Sybil McPherson?
Yes, Sybil McPherson. I know that they arrange for space for us to meet with legislators upstate in Albany. And they really put us in a good place for like caucus days and things like that.
So when you talk about check cashing, check cashing, what's the problem there? What's that? What is that? Explain a little bit more about what happens when you don't have services in your community.
So speaking from my personal experience and a lot of the clients that I encounter, they are unbanked. They don't have bank accounts with traditional banking institutions. So every time they want to pay their landlord rent, they have to pay them with a money order. And then they have to keep that receipt for 6 years in order to prove that they paid their rent that month. And if those receipts get lost, then they may have trouble getting their security deposits back, and they may even end up facing eviction. And so that's just one of the problems. And then there's the fact that every time you want to get a money order to send to your landlord, you're paying like $10, $15, whereas writing a check from a bank account is free.
Well, let me ask a basic question. You're saying that you're working with folks who do not use banks because there's no bank near them, or because they don't they're not familiar with dealing with banks. What keeps folks from having a relationship with banks? Is it the bank's fault that these relationships don't exist?
Well, I think that it's largely the bank's fault, not to sound too cynical, but you know, banks are profit-driven. Mainstream banking institutions are profit-driven. So they know that they're not going to make a lot of money off of somebody who doesn't have a lot of money in their bank account. And so they tend to charge high fees, overdraft fees, and really just extract all the money that is in that account.
So the cost of accessing my money, it costs me money, perhaps too much money, to access my money.
Exactly. And when you're already a low-income person, that can be devastating. And a lot of times, I mean, I've had clients who just cannot get checking accounts because of their history with banks. Like, if you get your bank account frozen because of a collection matter,
right?
banks charge large fees for that, and then they may be unwilling to offer you a bank account in the future as a result. And so a lot of people are unbanked for that reason as well.
And as you say, what they do, what folks do as an alternative is also costing them money, but they can use whatever services, these other services that are sound pretty nefarious to me. I mean, it also sounds like high fees. It sounds like there's a catch-22 about getting your money if you're using these.
So, I mean, I think what is appealing about the check casher to a lot of our members is that the fees are posted and they know what they're getting into, as opposed to with a bank, they could have unexpected fees. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they're spending a great deal of money to use their own money. And then they don't have access to, favorable loan rates or any of the modern conveniences that having a bank account gives you, like being able to check your balance on your phone, being able to deposit checks on your phone, all those things.
So, again, what has happened this week in Albany, what the governor is putting forth, will be a way, and you mentioned some of these institutions, and these are organizations I imagine that you, that Mel's is saying, okay, these are good places to go to. Check these places out.
I mean, personally, like, I've had members who could not get bank accounts, and I referred them to Lower East Side People's Federal Credit Union, which operates on the Lower East Side. I think it's in Central or East Harlem as well. But as long as you live in New York City and you're under a certain income limit, you can bank there. And, they have mobile check cashing. So it doesn't really matter, like, where you live. And you likely work or live close to a branch. And so I've had clients that I've referred to there to get bank accounts that were unable to get bank accounts anywhere else.
We're talking with Elizabeth Perez. She is a staff attorney for the DC 37 Municipal Employee Legal Services. What's the phone number for Mel's?
The screening department is 212-815-1111.
If you are a member of DC 37 and you have a problem that you need addressed in terms of, obviously, a legal problem you need addressed, let's do that number again.
Yeah, it's 212-815-1111.
And before I let you go, is there anything else that we should know about this, what's happening that I did not ask you?
So it's great that it's in the executive budget, but that doesn't mean that it's over. There's still a legislative budget that needs to be made. And $25 million over 5 years is great. That money can be leveraged 12 to 1.
I'm not sure how.
Well, in loans to small businesses and mortgages, which would be huge, so that wealth is being distributed in the community and really promoting growth within the community. And so if there could be even more money in that
right.
fund, that would be great. And so we're looking to the legislature now to help the governor to finalize the budgets and everything. This is a huge first step, and it's amazing. This is the first time since 2007. And this is the only state in the country that has one of these funds.
And there's nothing stopping folks from next year coming back and fortifying the $25 million. The legislature can do it this year. Next year, everybody can do it. The governor can say this is a great program, and the legislature can say this is a great program, and there could be more money in this. So we've got to keep our legislators and the executive branch aware of what's happening and what a great program this can be.
Exactly. Hopefully it'll just continue to grow and grow and fill those gaps in financial services in those underserved areas.
Tell us a little bit more about Municipal Employee Legal Services overall for our members.
Well, MELS, Municipal Employees Legal Services, is a collectively bargained for benefit that is for union members to receive legal services when they need them. We deal with a wide variety of things, from housing issues, debt and bankruptcy, family, matrimonial cases, real estate transactions, contract disputes, and so much more. The best way to find out if your case is covered is to call our screening unit. But, I mean, we do everything. We do everything from preventing evictions and helping members buy their first homes.
I will say this. Whenever we post on social media an item about the Municipal Employees Legal Services, I get this we get this string of comments on the DC 37 Facebook page that is just folks telling us this happened to me and Mel's helped us out. I always believe that not enough people know about it, but the folks who have accessed it, there is a whole world of folks out there who really feel as if Mel's got them out of a tight jam, which is a really terrific thing.
Yeah, having a lawyer is huge. It's something that's not available to most people when they need it. And the fact that the union has bargained for this benefit is amazing. And there's actually a workshop coming up for tax season. It's going to be about the new changes in the tax law. It's going to be Tuesday, January 21st at 5:30. It's going to be at 420 West 45th Street in Midtown. If you want to register for that, you can call our screening unit. And again, that number is 212-815-1111.
She did that very well. Elizabeth Perez, the staff attorney at the Municipal Employees Legal Services, I want to thank you again for coming in and joining us.
Thanks so much.
That's just about all the time we have for this evening. A couple of other announcements. Members, you can check out the DC 37 Rewards Program, whether you purchase tickets to ball games or get an amazing price for a hotel room. Look to do it through the Rewards Program and achieve real savings. To register, you can visit www.dc37rewards.com. As Elizabeth just mentioned, there are workshops being offered on the new tax law changes. And again, that's Tuesday, January 21st at 5:30 p.m. at 420 West 45th Street in Midtown. You should call Mel's to register, 212-815-1111. Remember, if you have any comments about today's show or any of our shows, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. We appreciate your feedback. We end the show tonight with a brief tribute to Brandon Weber, who was a longtime friend of the show and a labor journalist and activist. We were stunned over the holidays to learn that he passed away suddenly. And he was a true labor activist to the very end. He will be missed. He was one of the good guys, gone too soon. And here are a few words from his last appearance in October. Take a listen.
And the process to actually get to impeachment is a little bit, there's a lot to it, but the simple version is in the House, they investigate, and the Senate decides whether or not to remove somebody from office. And that's what happened with Nixon. The House had it way enough to get Nixon out of there. And I can talk in a little bit about what the charges were. But when it went to the Senate, they would have voted for him to be out of there. And so he knew that. He knew that it's better for him in history to just leave. And that's what he did.
That was Brandon Weber. He was the author of a book called Class War USA, Dispatches from Workers' Struggle in American History. He would send me notes all the time. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. And he was, he was one of the good guys. And he just passed away before the end of the year. So we send our condolences to his family, and wish them the best. The producer is Rudy Orozco. The sound engineer is Andrea Minocchio. I am Chris Policano. Once again, Happy New Year, and until next time, ciao. ¶¶